Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the service tonight. To start, let's turn in the Christian hymnal to number 482. It's number 482 in the Christian hymnal. And after we sing this song, I'd like to take two selections from you all so you can be thinking about that. Does anyone have a selection?
25.
All right, 25 in the Christian hymnal. So 25 in the Christian hymnal, the Lily of the Valley.
Soul, the lily of the valley.
Thank you. Does anyone have it? How one more?
483.
All right, 483. The Christian hymnal. All right. Thank you all for those songs. Next, we'll look to Nathan to have devotions.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Harry Argo was here, and he shared a rather startling statement, and I've been repeating it in my classroom quite often. And it's this: the world wants you to be little boys who play with toys and waste their lives. And there's something about that statement that is kind of startling and makes us kind of rise up in protest, I think, against that. Because unless you're actually a little boy, you don't like being called a little boy. And you're certainly not out there wasting your life, I hope. And so I think for that reason, it's a really profound statement to make. And it's something for us to sit back and think about. For our devotional tonight, I want to think about doing great things for God by being faithful in a few things. Now, if I were to ask you for a raise of hands tonight, who wants to do great things for God? I think all of you would raise your hands, right? We'd all prefer doing that instead of wasting our life. And especially when we're young people, we dream about doing big things in our lives, maybe big things for God, things that change the world, make an impact, a lasting difference. We think about all those things. And as we get older, we find that life tends to get busier and busier. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we look back and we wonder, are we actually being the big world change that we dreamed about? And maybe that leads to the classic midlife crisis eventually, which I'm fast approaching apparently. Some people say that life is a rat race. And if you've not heard that figure of speech, it's the idea that we're like a gerbil on a gerbil wheel, and we get up every morning and we start doing things, and we get out and work, and we work hard all day long, and then we come home and we eat, and we sleep, and we get up and we do the same thing the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and after it's gone on for a while, it doesn't look like we've had much to show for it. Maybe, too, we've set out like mountain climbers like Jonathan talked about this morning. I really enjoyed that message. But maybe we've been climbing for a long time now, and I don't know if you've climbed mountains before. I haven't climbed a whole lot of big mountains, but there was one I climbed, Mount Ida, with my brother-in-law's, and it was kind of challenging, and you'd get to the top of one crest and realize that the real crest is beyond the next crest and maybe even beyond that. And each time you think you got to the top, you'd realize there's still another stretch to go. If you would, in your Bibles, I would like you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. We'll start at verse 14 there. This is a familiar parable that Jesus told about talents. Parable of the Talents, Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 14. Just read this real quickly. But the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowest not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Thou hast been faithful over a few things. That's the what I want to think about here. If you think about the great stories in the Bible that have appealed to us from when we were little children and still continue to appeal to us today, almost every one of them start out with a young person who did small things faithfully over a long stretch of time. Think about Joseph. He was a young man. He had good intentions. He had a heart, apparently, to serve the Lord. But he was an annoying little brother. And he had a bit of a self-righteous attitude when it came to his visions. So how did he change the world? How did that work out for him? Well, he gets sold into slavery, taken to Egypt, has no hope of ever seeing his family again. And how does he change the world? He changed it by being faithful where God put him and in whatever situation he was in. Again, think about Moses. He grows up in Egypt, survives being killed as a youngster. He's adopted by the queen. He's rich. He's educated. He probably has some position of authority. That's a pretty ideal position, right, to change the world. But what comes of it? He's trying to watch out for his own people a little bit and ends up killing an Egyptian and ends up having to flee. Not only that, he not only kills an Egyptian to defend his own people, but his own people didn't even really appreciate that. And he ends up in the wilderness fleeing the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, and wandering around for what some people say up to 40 years, keeping sheep for his father-in-law. Does that sound like doing big things for God? So how did he change the world? And the answer is he was faithful and patient and probably learned a lot of important lessons out there in those 40 years. Think about Joshua. He's a little bit of a different story. He had kind of an exciting life. We don't know about his boyhood, but he kind of rode the coat heels of Moses. And the first time Joshua is mentioned is when Moses, that I could find, is when Moses was telling him to get a group of fighting men together to go fight the Amalekites. And that's the time when Moses had to go out there and hold up his hands for the entire fight so that the Israelites could win. So that was successful, right? But then, in spite of all of his successes at that point, Joshua has to put up with the children of Israel for 40 years while they wander around in the wilderness. And it doesn't take you long to figure out that it must have been a pretty annoying group of people to live with by all the complaining you read. And then finally, after 40 years, he finally gets to go into the land of Canaan and do great things for God there. You can think about Gideon living a pretty mundane life, just trying to live under the radar of the Midianites. He's out there threshing wheat, presumably just trying to survive. And how does he change the world? By being ready and willing and faithful. Think about Samuel. When he was about 3 or 4 or 5 years old, his mother goes and drops him off at the temple. And he sees his mom about once a year. And he spends his growing up years there in the temple. Probably not a lot of other children there to play with. That doesn't sound very exciting to a young person. Yet he ends up being one of the most influential prophets in the Old Testament. How did he change the world? It's because he was faithful. Think about David. He's young. He's carefree. He's tending sheep. Not probably that exciting, but he does get a few exciting adventures when the bear comes out and when the lion comes out. He gets to kill them. But other than that, pretty boring lifestyle, I would imagine. He's playing on his harp and singing songs. But, of course, he's eager to go see this battle formation that he's heard about where his brothers are fighting. That sounds a little more exciting. So he takes provisions there, and once again we have the annoying little brother shows up, and his older brother said, "I know the naughtiness of thy heart," and criticized him. So how does David change the world? He changes the world by being faithful and being ready to step up to the plate when the time was right. And think about Daniel. We don't know much about his childhood, but we know that he's taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Maybe his father and mother were killed. I don't know that we know. Maybe they were left there in Israel. But he's taken to Babylon for the rest of his life. That doesn't seem like a really good place to win friends and influence people for the kingdom of God. And yet he did that there in Babylon and changed the world. How? By being faithful in small things and also purposing in his heart not to defile himself. And of course, we can think about Jesus. And again, we have a few snapshots from his early life. We know that he grew in favor with God and man. We know that he asked intelligent questions. We know that he must have been interesting enough to talk to that the leaders there at the temple were willing to spend 3 days talking with this young boy. So there's something special about him as a young person. But then you have the stretch between 12 and around 30 where he just kind of drops off the map. How does he change the world? By being faithful and doing the will of his father. And he's the most impactful of them all. And then, just one more. The little boy who brought the five, the loaves and the fishes that fed the 5,000. Did he, what were his thoughts? Did he dream of giving a little gift to Jesus, a little lunch to Jesus? There's a story that kind of spins the tale that way. Maybe he was just going with his friends and they were tearing off down the path and his mom had to yell out behind him, "Johnny, come back for your lunch. Don't forget your lunch." And he ends. Sorry. He ends up changing the world that day. By giving what he had, just a little bit. So the thought I want to leave with us tonight is that we're most impactful in changing the world just by being faithful in some pretty small tasks that God gives us. And one of the things that I've been really impressed with as I've been reading through the Old Testament is how long some of these people had to wait before they seemed to make any impact at all. But they were faithful. And it's doing the next right thing, and it's doing it joyfully, I think, which is something I've failed at a lot. Maybe if we're mountain climbers, like Jonathan talked about, maybe it's just putting the next foot in front of the other. That gets kind of mundane after a while. But it's the next right thing. And it's being faithful in a few things so that when God asks us to do something bigger, we're ready for that. And there's, of course, a lot more angles that we could look at. We don't have time. But, life isn't just about our personal experience. or our sense of fulfillment in going through life even, and doing something that we perceive is great and meaningful. The fact is, there's many times we probably impact somebody's life and we don't find out how it touched them for years. Or maybe many times not at all. We have no idea. What's important is that we're being faithful today in the small things. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for this church family and for what they mean to me. And Lord, we just thank you that you have purpose in our lives. And thank you for these examples of men and also women in the Bible who have been faithful in small things and diligent in small things and working great things in your kingdom in that way. And God, I just pray that we can be men and women of God who are diligent in our life and in our discipline and in our walk with you. And may we serve others, even when it may not always feel the most fulfilling. And just bless us in that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evenings and greetings to all this evening. Thank you, Brother Nathan, for sharing those thoughts. I was deeply impressed by that. And he used the word faithfulness a lot. And as I take that word a little further, to be faithful, we need faith. I think that faith is what anchors us to those everyday right decisions. Believing in a great God that is able. Okay, so for the order of their service from here on, Brother David Raymer has consented to lead us in two songs, followed by children's songs. Adriana will lead the children in song. So after David Raymer's two songs, we'll ask the children to come forward. And following that, then Jonathan Miller will lead us in two more songs, and then we'll see how our time goes from there. But in the last, then we'll have the choir come forward, but we'll see how much time we have in between. Lord bless you.
Good evening, everyone. You can take your Christian hymnal and turn to song number 347. Maybe I'll take a selection after this. I know in my heart what it means. As I have been communicating with my Muslim friend in California, one thing he cannot seem to understand, and it's something that's very hard to explain, the feeling of being forgiven. And this song says, I know in my heart what it means, salvation, that word so divine. And this song has really sprung to life for me because of this. We know in the last verse it says, when others proclaim that salvation is free, when they tell of the soul-cleansing blood, we know we can't gain it, and yet it takes everything we have. And one thing that John Lennox says, who is a professor in mathematics, anyway, he says, I'm a Christian because it works. I'm a Christian because it works. When you think about that statement, sometimes just really think about it. And does it work in your life? And I think it does. So this song is talks about what it means in our heart. So let's really sing out. I may try to get a clip of this song. I'd love to send it to my Muslim friend. And I've been looking for a recording of it, and I can't find one. Anyway. So, song number 347.
When I read how my Savior was nailed to the cross for the sins of the world to atone, oh, I feel so unworthy, such suffering and love.
Christian hymnal?
305. I intend to go through with him. 305.
I live. My friends may forsake me and turn from my path. I'll seek not their favor to win. His smile is sufficient and pays me for all I intend to go through with him.
At this time, we'll ask the children to come forward and line up on the steps here in front of the pulpit.
Christian hymnal, song number 382. I had to switch my songs here a couple times because great minds think alike, and we kept singing songs that I wanted to sing. Song number 382. Let's sing the chorus on the first verse and last verses only. On the third verse, I'd like to have the men sing that verse. And then on verse 4, some of you men, I'd like to have you sing baritone. Song number 382.
Oh, I'm pressing on the upward way, new lives I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Song number 212. Song number 212. Let's stand to sing this song.
Oh, there's a call comes ringing for the at the cross, the
It wouldn't be a hymn singing without singing one song about heaven. We'll lead 586, and then we'll turn the time over to the choir. On the last verse, the choir is welcome to assemble to the front, and I'll move off to the side. 586. I love to think of my home above in the glorious realms of
home, sweet home, sweet home, sweet home.
Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, too sweet to stop with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
Come and dine.
You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
Come and dine.
He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine.
There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire.
Thus he satisfies the hungry every time.
Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven's will assembled be. Oh, twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
Come and dine.
You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
Tonight, we actually have two songs about heaven. There was a unanimous, we got several text messages about singing By the River. And then I also would like to sing the song Home. I haven't sung it for a while. I know we have many, many here. I think we all have investments in heaven. We have people there that are waiting for us. Yeah, so we'll sing those two yet tonight.
Home where I love. swell.